You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
Welcome to Oddball. I'm Charlotte Wilder. That's Amin Alhassan. And Amin, this is our first show, full week of playoffs. Can you believe that we started last year in Summer League and now we're here? It's finally happening, playoff basketball.
We are inundated with real stuff now. We just spent almost a year doing filler, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. I admit it now. The whole thing. July, October, December, March, all filler. Now the fun begins.
This is the meat. This is the real meat on the bone. I'm so excited. We're going to start today with Odd One Out, per usual, on a Monday, where we have 6 stories. We are only allowed to talk about 5 of them, and we talk about them for amount of time in descending order. If you don't know what we mean, you'll figure it out. So let's get going. Let's see what's behind door number 1.
NBA Awards.
So if you've watched Oddball, you've heard us talk about the MVP conversation. We also had the trading block where players could get on or off a bus, which we should bring back in the offseason, But this year, finally, we have the finalists for the NBA Awards. We're going to start with the MVP because that's... Sure. You're either in the conversation.
One.
Yeah, the easy one. Luka Doncic, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Nikola Jokic. I don't think there's any huge surprise here.
Yeah, there's a couple of things happening here, right? Number one, obviously, Jokic was amazing and the Nuggets had a great year. But it is, this is the apology tour, right? All the voters who last year said, this guy's not good enough to win 3 MVPs. And then he did what he did in the playoffs and the finals. And they're like, on second thought. So
yes.
There's an element of just kind of like, our bad, that's happening here.
Mm-hmm. I think so. And I feel like in some ways that's why there wasn't a ton of the MVP conversation. You call it the MVP conversation as a bar and you're either in it or, you know, you're close to the center of conversation. I don't feel like the bar was that busy this year. I don't feel like there was a whole lot of MVP conversation because of what you just said, because people were sort of like, ah, man, I made a really big deal about Jokic not being very good, and then he did what he did.
Yeah, like, it's a quiet night at the bar. The guys are there, but they're speaking in hushed tones, and there's really Jokic has been talking the whole time. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, do want to give him a shout-out.
Yeah.
He's been incredible this year, both offensively and defensively. Obviously, the Thunder had the best record in the West, so there's a lot to be proud of, and for him, you know, for anyone who thinks, yo, this dude should be MVP, I think there's a strong argument that he should be MVP based on the resume. I just think that the whole my bad Jokic feeling is going to overcome and overtake for the voters. I think Luka had an amazing year, but the Mavericks not being as good as either of those other two teams takes away from his argument.
I totally agree. I'm very excited, for, you know, a lot of people come over to the NBA during the playoffs. They're like, okay, well, football's over. Let's go on. Let's move on to this. We've been here the whole time, and we're here to tell you that if you haven't watched SGA play, you are in for one hell of a treat. I really hope that the Thunder actually go farther. I mean, they're the one seed, they should, but I love watching this guy play, so I want more of that. But
he's terrific. And by the way, like, again, with all of these lists, I feel like the omissions gonna glare a little louder than like who is on the list. So I know, because I'm in a group chat with a bunch of my friends from New York, the where's Jalen Brunson question came up a lot in the chat. And I'll be interested to see when we obviously get announced the actual award winner. MVP comes, I think, late May. Mm-hmm. They release the votes and we get to see who else was kind of knocking on that door and how far back they were.
Yeah, let's save the Jalen Brunson conversation for then, because we're going to move on to Defensive Player of the Year, which is, we've got Bam Adebayo, we've got Rudy Gobert, we've got Victor Wembanyama. How do you feel about this lineup?
So, I get the excitement about Wembanyama. He led the league in block shots as a rookie, which is pretty impressive. He had more block shots per game than we've seen in quite a long time. Having said that, his team was pretty terrible, and they were pretty terrible defensively. And I kind of just, I feel that, look, he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year one day. We know it. That day doesn't have to be today. We don't have to, like, jump to show everyone how avant-garde or ahead of the curve we were. We knew, like, you don't have to do that. You can allow it to happen. So to me, then it comes between Rudy and Bam Adebayo. And my thing is always, who's the guy that I could say can guard everybody? It's Bam. To me, Bam should be Defensive Player of the Year, but I guess we'll see what happens.
We'll also see what happens when it comes to Coach of the Year, because there were a few very interesting omissions. We had Jamal Mosley of Orlando, Mark Dagnall, the Thunder, Chris Finch of the Timberwolves, no Joe Mazzulla, no Tom Thibodeau. A little surprising to me.
Yeah, shocked about Mazzulla, because here's a guy in his second year of coaching, has the best record in the league, has the number one offense in the history of the game, has gotten his stars to take a step back and be more facilitators, lower their scoring in the interest of others, has gotten Derek White to play out of his mind, has played for much of the year with Sam Hauser, Peyton Pritchard, and Luke Kornet as rotation players. Like, all of these things are pretty freaking amazing when you think about it. And for him to not even be an afterthought, and that's no disrespect to those other coaches, they all did great jobs. I was kind of shocked about that.
He's also our number one weirdo. So on that note, on to door number two. I mean, what do we have?
Let's see. Reveal to me. Oh, it's Clippers versus Mavericks. Game two is tonight. Charlotte, the Clippers won game one, 109-97. The score is misleading because they were getting their ass whooped, the Mavericks were, for most of the night. And then they made this kind of like chip away thing in the second half, and particularly in the fourth quarter, to where the score looked respectable, but this game was never close. The Mavs scored 8 points in the second quarter. That's the third lowest scoring first half in playoff history. Charlotte.
Yeah.
Can the Mavs recover to make your pick a reality? If you don't know, Charlotte, before the playoffs, picked Mavs in five.
Yeah, it was one of those things that came to me as a premonition. I said it out loud. I feel a little silly now, but hey, it's still possible math-wise. When they came, I was like, guys, what are you doing to me? Like, this is, they didn't show up to, Daniel Gafford was like, I did not come to play. Like, I didn't show up. And it's like, how do you not show, like, it's the playoffs against the Clip, like, you're literally your one job in the playoffs is to show up. So to say in your press conference, you didn't show up, I respect the honesty, but I think like maybe try showing up. I mean, maybe that's what they should do.
All right. I think you're being a little unfair to young Daniel Gafford, right? Daniel Gafford has been in the league only for a handful of years. Daniel Gafford has been to the playoffs for a grand total of six games. And that's including, game one. So he had five games of experience coming into his first game with Dallas. Okay. Those five games were with the Washington Wizards.
Okay. So yeah, maybe I'm being a little mean here. I take that back. I respect your honesty, Daniel. And I hope that now you show up. You're welcome. We can't wait to see you. I mean, the bigger story here though, I think is Kawhi not playing for the Clippers.
Yeah. And now he missed a bunch of games towards the end of the season. with I believe it was tendinopathy. I still can't see that word. Now, the interesting thing here, Charlotte, is people are gonna be like, oh, people looked at the end of that season and said, oh, they're resting. They're resting him for the playoffs. And then they see him sit out game one. Oh, they're resting him again. This guy rests all the time. It's like, or he's actually hurt, ladies and gentlemen. And he didn't play because he couldn't play. And this goes back to 2021, where the Clippers made it to the conference finals, losing to the Suns, but in the second round, they beat the Utah Jazz mostly without the services of Kawhi Leonard, who was then listed as questionable and day to day. Every single day, we got an update. Is he going to play today? Oh, let's see. And then around game time, we say, no, Kawhi's out. And this continued throughout, like I said, the next round of the conference finals. It turns out he had a torn ACL, Charlotte. There was no way he was ever going to play. And the Clippers knew that. But for some reason, they do this little coy game of like, maybe, I don't know. Kawhi Leonard has been unfairly been the scapegoat, the poster child for load management and rest, when in reality, for much of the last 5 years, the dude has just been legitimately hurt. He's not sitting because he doesn't want to play. He's not sitting because of precautions. He's sitting because he's hurt.
And that's something that fans, any fan who's like, oh, he doesn't want to play or they're saving him, that's not true. Do you know how competitive these guys are? Do you know how competitive you have to be to make it to the NBA? Do you know how the dream of NBA players is to play in the playoffs? This is not some cute, like, we're going to win this series, so we don't need me. Nothing is given at this point. So let's nip that in the bud. Talk about a conversation. Let's shut that bar down, I mean.
It's one of those craziest things I've ever heard. It's like the idea that, like, yeah, I know Luka Doncic has been going crazy all season long, but I'm gonna say I don't need this 6'7", 6'8" defensive whiz kid over here. Huh? Yeah, we got it, man. Paul George, that's not happening. Come on, guys, be
That
real
is
here.
not happening. Oh,
All
God.
right.
Okay, door number three.
Yes. What do we have?
Ant and KD, Anthony
All right.
Edwards, Kevin Durant. I loved this moment. I mean, Anthony Edwards has famously said that Kevin Durant is his favorite player. The Suns and the Timberwolves play. Anthony Edwards went off for 33 points. He had 9 rebounds. And after he hit a shot over Durant, he just talked to him and he had this visceral, like, amazing moment of triumph, and KD was sort of smiling and laughing. And afterwards, Ant said this about it.
The little back and forth with Kevin Durant there in the third quarter. How fun is that? And what do you make of the atmosphere tonight?
I think everybody here knows that's my favorite player of all time. So that was probably one of the best feelings ever in my whole life, for sure.
So sweet. That's so sweet. He was like, one of the best feelings in my whole life. For sure. I love in sports where you get sweet, honest moments like that, where it's, the changing of the guard, perhaps, but also some real appreciation from the players who are unbelievable right now, talking about players who have been unbelievable for so long.
Charlotte, let me ask you a question. If you could show out like that to your childhood idol, who would it be, and what would the manner of showing out be for you?
Oh God, I'm gonna have to think. When you say childhood idol, I think Mia Hamm. I was absolutely obsessed with her,
Okay.
but I would never have been good enough at soccer. So maybe it would have been like writing a really great article about her. That would be the closest I could ever come.
The largest dog ever is outside of my window barking.
Really?
It sounds like a monster. It does
We
not
can't
sound like a
hear
dog.
it, but
I
they
can.
must have liked my take.
Yes. For me, it would be making Eddie Murphy laugh. Like that
Oh,
would be
God.
like my thing. Like if I went on stage and did stand up or made a movie or whatever, and Eddie Murphy laughed and like just, oh, this is hilarious. Like that to me would be like, yo, that has to be what Anthony Edwards felt like. It's like I'm not only doing this in the playoffs, I'm living my dream as NBA player. I'm doing it against a dude I grew up watching and idolizing. I was talking to Zach Harper, and he recounted this story from like 2013 or 2012 of Durant going off for like 40 something against the T-Wolves. This is when he played for the Thunder. And like now it's kind of cool seeing Anthony Edwards go off like that, for the Minnesota Timberwolves against Kevin
Totally.
Durant. And I said, you know what
Totally.
the fun part about that story is? Anthony Edwards was like 10 years old when that game happened.
Crazy. Yeah, want to feel old? Also, I'm amending mine. Mine would be a cameo in a Muppet movie.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's it. If I could do anything that would make my younger self feel like, wow, she really made it, it would be a cameo sitting next to Kermit and Miss Piggy on a park bench.
Oh, and what about Fozzie?
Oh, Fozzie.
Waka waka.
Oh, Fozzie. Yeah. Gonzo. I always really identified with Gonzo. Okay, let's move on.
All right, let's go. Door number five. What do we got?
Door number four.
Oh, I'm
now
sorry.
Who's bad at math?
Now who can't count?
Jeez.
Coach Mazzulla, who I stood up for and I said it's a shame that he wasn't even in the top three finalists for Coach of the Year. But there was an incident in game one where Caleb Martin ran into Jason Tatum late, causing a scary fall. Everything's all right. Everyone's fine. But Mazzulla's response was interesting, to say the least. Let's take a listen.
Have you spoken to him? He did look like he hit his head a little bit.
I was just thinking, I was waiting to see what he was going to do. I was kind of excited about the whole situation. So I enjoyed watching it.
Okay.
That's your boy.
I'm going to answer for that. I think what he's trying to say is that it was exciting to see physical basketball against the Heat, who are a famously physical team. Tatum got hit. He went down hard. It was terrifying. But he popped right back up to show everyone he wasn't hurt. He kept going. Somehow he wasn't hurt. I don't really know how, because that looked awful. But Joe, what are we doing? Yeah. You were excited? Phrase it differently, my dude.
Let me ask you this. More ridiculous. Joe Mazzulla for saying he was excited to see it, or my good friend and co-worker at SiriusXM, Brian Scalabrini, saying that Eric Spoelstra did it on purpose. He sent in the goons to go after Tatum. I said, Scal, come on, man. What are we doing?
I think I have league pass just so I can hear Scal's homer takes. I live for them. I love them. I think I'm more surprised that Mazzulla said he was excited than Scalabrini said that Caleb Martin was a sleeper cell. So
it kills me because Scal's like a smart guy.
He is.
This isn't a guy who's flying off the seat of his pants, but like this Boston thing, man, you guys, I don't know what's in the water up there.
Oh yeah, no, dirty water, and it gets into your brain and we're all infected. So
by the way, Scal, he's from Southern California. Like, stop making, he's a Boston guy. Like, no, he's not. He played there. He's not from Boston.
You know, we could talk about this forever. We've run out of time to even see what's behind the sixth door. The fifth door is Frederick Weiss talking about Embiid, saying, I consider this boy a great player as much as he is a dirty guy. I hate him for the things that he did. I mean,
dude, it's not even the best. The best quote was, he said, first of all, he should have his French citizenship stripped. Then he said he should be banned from ever entering France. That's right. You can't play in the Olympics. He said, let him show up to the airport with Team USA and then just stop him there, which I love that Frederick Weiss has Team USA flying on like, Air France
British Airways,
American
whatever.
Airlines flight 35 to Paris and get down through passport control and stuff. These guys are flying private, bro. You ain't even gonna see them. You can't stop them from coming in the country.
What's going on? Like, geez, play it cool. Act like you've been there before. But I guess that's what gets clicks. That's what gets attention. Yeah. Maybe I should be more incendiary. I mean,
there you go, and then you can be banned from France.
Yeah, I'm already might be. Shout out Madison Square Garden.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season to begin. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has got you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DAN, D-A-N. New customers bet just $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DAN, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Are you tired of snooty wines and their old world wine culture? Confused by words like malolactic fermentation? Yeah, we are too. So with 19 Crimes, you can do the fancy schmancy tilt, sip, smell. Ooh, I think it tastes like old red cherry, a little bit of wood and mahogany, a little leather. You can do all that stuff or don't. 19 Crimes is the rebel of wine culture telling stories of rogues and rule breakers who overcame adversities. From convicts banished to Australia to the legendary icon Snoop Dogg himself. 19 Crimes wine is defiant by nature, bold in character, and always uncompromising. 19 Crimes, the official wine of the UFC. Pick up in stores nationwide or online at 19crimes.com. Enjoy responsibly. Copyright 2024, Sonoma, California.
Welcome back to Oddball. I mean, we have a full week of basketball to look ahead to. And why discuss tomorrow's news tomorrow when we could discuss tomorrow's news today in a segment we are calling Time Traveler or Time Traveling.
Same thing.
We are going to predict the future and we're going to start right now.
Okay. Well, I predict that I'm going to start by teeing you up. All right. So here's the deal. There's already questions swirling around LeBron James' future. What's he going to do? Fans noticed him and Anthony Davis running out of gas in game one. It's like, how much longer can he keep this up? Things could get really ugly, Charlotte. So The sentence is, after round one of the playoffs, LeBron James will blank.
He will be in a pool going, can't believe this is my life.
Ha ha. That's a reference.
That's sort of mean.
You went to the past.
I do not see, you know, anything can happen. I do think that he might be posting on social media. I mean,
yes, well, that's going to happen for sure. He doesn't do the Zero Dark 30 anymore. He used to announce it, right? Like, yeah, hey guys, going Zero Dark 30 on social media. It reminds me of like, there's a hooper named Cam Edwards who does these really funny videos on Instagram where it's like, this is the guy who has everything on private or whatever. Or this is the guy who doesn't need coffee in the morning. He's like, yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm just naturally energetic, right? So I just have him, the guy who goes Zero Dark 30 in the playoffs, and goes, yeah, it's a, I don't really need it. You know, I feel like it's a distraction. So
I just don't, I'm not addicted to social media the way some people are. Also, I said this on Levitard show once and didn't get as much love as I wanted it to. My friends and I, when we were in our 20s and you'd get ghosted, we'd call it Zero Dark Flirty. And I made it up.
Good job. There you go.
Okay. Whatever. We're moving on. The Clippers got off to a great start versus Dallas without Kawhi Leonard. Mm-hmm. But will Dallas be able to turn things around? And the fill in the blank for you, Amin, is game one of Mavs Clippers was a blank.
Sphincter shrinker for Charlotte Wilder. Sphincter shrinker. Well, yeah, because it's just
bullshit
like
prediction. Excuse me.
Yes, your bullshit prediction was Mavs in five, which could still happen. Like the Mavs could sweep the next four games and just figure everything out. So. But let's be real. Like, this series is going to go long. And I've seen this a million times. Hell, I've seen it in the NBA Finals in 2005, Pistons Spurs. Game one was a blowout. And everyone was like, all right, well, this one's over. And then game two was a blowout in the other direction. And it ends up going seven games. I think I had Mavs in seven. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I had Clippers in seven. I don't know. See, that's how much it doesn't matter. I think there's going to be a lot of emotional roller coastering happening here.
Now, I do too, which is a more interesting outcome than my Mavs in five. So I'm fine with it. But, you know, sometimes you got to take a swing.
All right.
Or a logo three in basketball.
Okay, whatever. Charlotte, here we go. This next one, we got to take it to the world's most famous arena because it only took one playoff win for Knicks fans to lose their mind. Roll it. That's right. Jesus. They're lighting a Joel Embiid jersey on fire.
Oh, my God. I hadn't seen that.
Yeah. And they also were chanting Trae Young outside, which it's hilarious to me that, like, Knicks fans, that, like, the things they go to are always Trae Young and then Tom Brady. It's yeah, amazing. Well, a guy who's not playing against them and a guy who doesn't even play the same sport.
I was at the game where the Trae Young started. I mean, the first one ever. And the energy there was enough to power the whole city of New York. So I understand why they keep going back to it, but it makes no sense. So by the end of round one, Knicks fans will
blank.
Continue to be unwell, because even if the Knicks win, that just ratchets up the anxiety, and on to the second round, they're going to be burning, like, not just jerseys. They're going to be burning down buildings the city might not be here if the Knicks keep doing well. So I know that's sort of a cop-out answer, but I can't think of another way to put it.
I can't wait for Charlotte went outside of Madison Square Garden for game two and talk to Knicks fans in the street. I cannot wait to see what they said.
Same. Can't wait to show you. Okay, our last one here, our last time traveling headline or prediction, is about Damian Lillard. Because on Sunday, it was Dame time. He had 33 points. He led the Bucks to a blowout win over Indy in game one. So fans of Dame Dalla are all asking, and because if he makes music, Dame's song about this series will be called Blank, Amin.
Y'all must have forgot.
Right? Oh. And
that's a shout out to Roy Jones Jr., who also dabbled in some music making and had one song that I can't name another Roy Jones song, but he had one song called Y'all Must Have Forgot, which is the greatest song ever, because all he did was rap about actual fights that he did, including when he beat Bernard Hopkins with his left hand because his right hand was broken. He said, when I broke my right hand, I beat him with my left hand. Y'all must have forgot. That's an actual thing that happened and an actual thing that he rapped about. And so I feel like Damian Lillard must be walking around with the y'all must have forgot. Because a lot of people are like, oh, Dame is washed. Oh, this in the Bucks. Remember, I told you guys, I got the Bucks in the conference finals. I told you guys, things get easier for veteran teams when they have a week. They had four. I heard Jared Greenberg of NBA TV say this. They had four practices. They haven't had four practices the entire year with Doc Rivers. They had four practices in a week. So
it's so true. Also, you know what else y'all must have forgot? That Tyrese Halliburton, after beating the Bucks in the regular season, did the Dame time thing to his wrist. You know who didn't forget that? Dame. You know who made sure that y'all didn't forget that? Dame.
Yep. Really quick, I want to go back to LeBron. What's he going to do when all of this is
why? What's yours?
I had LeBron James will go to Turkey.
That's a hair plugs joke, folks.
Yes, it is.